to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
No, I just something. And so last night, while I was sleeping, and oftentimes the Lord speaks, He says 10:19, 10:19, 10:19, and I'm going, okay, I don't know what that means, you know, this. Is that the 10th book, the 19th chapter? Where am I supposed to go? And so as I opened up my Bible this morning, I fell in Hebrews chapter 10 at the 19th verse. And so I don't know how this is going to go this morning, but I'm going to share with you what I feel as though God has shared with me. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at the 19th verse. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at the 19th verse, we'll go all the way down to verse number 25. This catches us in the middle of a conversation that the author is having here. And so we will go over some of the background and find out exactly what's going on, but we're catching this in the middle of a conversation here. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at the 19th verse. It reads, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time and this moment. God, thank you for this opportunity once again, Father God, to stand before your throne. Lord, we ask that you would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would be acceptable to what it is you have to say here today, Father God. Allow us, Father God, to your word to be shared in a way that we would take it on, and we would not just be hearers, but to be doers as well. Father, we love you. God, we need you every single step of the way. Be with us, Father God, through this journey, that we would please you in everything that we do. Father, we love you. God, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I really felt as though God was giving me a word to encourage us to share our blessings, to share our blessings, to share what it is God has blessed us with as believers, to not just be about it in word, but to actually be about his business through action. And so there's some things, and sometimes there's things that we can say that can help someone to look at something different or whatever. But more often, it's not really what we say, it's actually how we react. It's actually what we do. It's actually the choices that we make to respond, because that we ought to be a little different. We shouldn't respond how the world responds. We ought to respond differently. And so that's the area that I was searching these scriptures, and I was going through these scriptures, and I was saying, wow, share the blessing, share the blessing. But it seems as though God just sort of continued some things from last week where we talked about how we would respond and how we would do something rare and how we would resign to God's will. Well, today he gave me something that as believers, how believers should react. How believers should react. And I go, wow, well, here I am at this scripture here, and how is it that you're telling me that believers should react? How is this supposed to go along? And God said, well, believers ought to react a certain way because they ought to have a certain mindset. They ought to react a certain way because they ought to have a certain mindset. And each and every single one of us as believers, we ought to react a way, not because somebody else is watching, not because so often, and it is something that's irritating to me, so often we have non-believers telling believers how they should act. Not because the world says that since we're believers we should act this way, but because of who we say that we are, this is the reason that we should react. So if you're writing down a title for today, you could write down a believer's reaction. Hold fast the faith. A believer's reaction. Hold fast the faith. If you do some history and some background on the book of Hebrews, you'll find out that many theologians go back and forth on who they believe the author is and who they think this person ought to be, based upon some of the literature and some of the words that are used. Some say, well, it can't be Paul. Some say, well, maybe it's Peter, maybe it's Luke, maybe it's whoever. But they don't really concisely come down and say this is the person that actually wrote the book. In the beginning of Hebrews, it doesn't say this is who I am as far as the author and defining, because it really frankly seems as though the author wasn't so much concerned with who they were, but they were more concerned about making sure that they proclaim Jesus Christ, making sure that they tell somebody else about Jesus, making sure that they actually let somebody know about this man named Jesus. If you look in the beginning of chapter 10, you're going to see some key verses here. If you go down to looking at verse 10, before we get down to verse 19, it's talking about Christ as being the perfect sacrifice. And it starts to talk about why things had to change, why there had to be a new promise, why things couldn't be the way that they always were. But now it's something different going on. It says here in verse number 6, it says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. God has become tired, has become sickening with you doing it. You go out and you give the burnt offering, but then you'll turn around and go do whatever you wanted to do, but then you'll come back and you get, God says, no, I'm tired of that. Even in the relationship with God and his people. In the Old Testament times, we know that there was a high priest, and the high priest is the one that communed with God, and everyone else came to the high priest, and these sacrifices was done. But we look down and we see here that you'll see the things start to change up. Verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written unto me to do the will, O God, to do thy will, O God. Comes back over in verse 9, it says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus once and for all. So now as we see that these burnt offerings and these sacrifices were made in the Old Testament time after time after time, every time something turned around the year of atonement, every time the high priest went into the holies of holies, every time it was done over and over and over. But now we're saying, look at here, now there's a sacrifice that's coming that is going to happen one time and one time only, because the blood of Jesus is enough. It doesn't have to continue to happen over and over and over. It says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. That's verse number 10. Number 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Definitely showing us that this is Jesus. It says, for by the one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Meaning that he's made us perfect forever. perfect forever, not perfect because of what we've done or because of what we've been through, but perfect because he is who he is. Amen. It says in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because of the shedding of the blood, I will not remember their sins anymore. Their sins are washed away clean. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It puzzles me. It puzzles me. We're living in 2016, and I don't claim to know it all, but it puzzles me. It puzzles me how some folk now will hold on and say, well, yeah, well, you know, the Old Testament, we're looking at this, and this is how we have to do this, and we have to do this, and they come up with valid reasons and saying different things. But my question becomes, well, then where's your offering? Because in the Old Testament, they still did offerings. They still did burnt offerings. They still did incense. They still did all of this. So if you're telling me that, you know, you can't have pierced ears, or a woman can't wear makeup, or, you know, you're going through all the different things that all these people go through, then why aren't you doing these things? Because that's still part of that whole Old Testament mentality, that whole Old Testament thought process. But you clearly see here in Hebrews that God says, no, I got something new I'm trying to show you. That I don't need those no more, because those things are not satisfying to me. Because man had come to the point that he would just go ahead and sin. I know what I'll do. I'll just go ahead and get an offering. I'll be okay. And we'll just keep moving. And God said, no, it's true. God said, I know your heart. Your heart's not with me. I know your heart. This brings us here to verse number 19. Verse number 19. Actually, verse number 19 through 22, you'll see really summed up in one scripture in 1 John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9. But it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, he says, look, as a believer, our reaction to this life ought to be that we hold fast the faith. And so no matter what situation that I'm in, no matter what circumstance comes my way, verse 19 says that I have to have the boldness to know that based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, I have the ability to go directly to God. This ought to be my reaction as a believer when stuff comes my way. God loved me enough that no matter how bad David was, no matter how bad Abraham, Isaac, Jacob was, no matter how bad anybody else that I read about in the Old Testament was, they didn't have the ability to do what God has given me to do right now. I have the ability to go to him myself, personally. I have a relationship with him that at any time, the door is wide open. It says here in verse 20, by a new and living way, a new way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Because now we see the Holy of Holies, and there's a veil that stands in front of the Holies of Holies. This is Old Testament stuff. And so as this veil was here as the most inner part of the temple, this is where the presence of God resided. And so when it was time, this is where the high priest went into the holiest of holies to commune with God over the sins of the people. But he says, look here, this veil, I'm going to liken this veil to the body of Christ. I'm going to liken this veil, as we see at Golgotha, where Christ was crucified. We see that once Christ died on the cross, scripture says that the veil was ripped. It says it was ripped not from the bottom up to show that man had done it, but it was ripped from the top down to show that God himself had ripped the veil. Well, in ripping the veil, this actually exposed the Holy of Holies. And so scripture here says that Jesus Christ, likening to the flesh of the veil, Jesus Christ, once he died, the veil was ripped. And so now we all have the opportunity to come to Christ, to come to God ourselves, each and every single one of us. As a believer, knowing that I have direct access to the source of every situation that I go through, knowing that I have direct access to God that can fix anything that I got going on, ought to build me up. ought to put me in a place where I don't mind being going through whatever I'm going through, because my reaction is not going to be like everybody else. Instead of trying to deal directly with you, I'm going to take it directly to the source, knowing that God has the ability to fix whatever it is that I'm going through. So the next time I got an issue with my boss or my coworker, instead of trying to deal with it with them, I'm taking it to the source. The next time I got a problem with my family member, instead of trying to deal directly with them, I'm taking it directly to the source. The next time the enemy attacks my body, instead of trying to work it out with the doctor, I'm going to take it directly. Why? Because as a believer, that ought to be my reaction. I have the ability to take it directly to the source. Amen. It says in verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. It says, look here, hold fast and understand who it is that you're dealing with, because you're not talking to a man. You're not talking to somebody else that doesn't have power to fulfill their word. You're not talking to somebody else that's got to go to somebody else. See, this is how the high priest did. When things happened and you went to the high priest and you offered and you did all this stuff to the high priest, and the high priest then had to be the in-between man to be the one to go to God. It says, look, you ain't got to worry about the in-between man, whether the in-between man got their stuff together, whether they done did everything that they're supposed to do, whether they washed themselves from sins, whether they've actually cleansed themselves before you even came to them. He says, but no, you have the ability to go directly to God, and what God says and how God responds is not going to be how man responds, because this is God. When he opens his mouth, he's not going to tell a lie. When he opens up his mouth, he's not going to give you false promises that he can't fulfill. We have the ability to go directly to God. As believers, anything that we got going on, that's how we should respond. Directly to God. We have the ability to react differently from the way that the world does. The world can have a situation that can just throw them off. But as believers, our reaction ought to be different. I got bad news. Yeah, well, I'm human. I might be sad about the bad news that I receive, but I have something that everybody else don't have. I have the ability to go directly to God and to sit before him and to ask God, this is my situation. I need your help. And not to do it feeling as though God can't fulfill it, but knowing that God will. He has the ability to take care of every single situation. Amen? It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, so see here, now the author is still dealing with God's people. And he's saying, look here, this boldness that we have and all this, let us encourage one another to love one another. Because the same ability that I have is the same ability that you have as a believer. And so in trying to look down on somebody or trying to pull somebody back, we ought to encourage one another in love. This is part of the reason why churches fail. Because folk get caught up over some blessing that somebody else has. I see, Lord. So how this ties into that sharing the blessing. Folk get caught up to how somebody else did. Last Sunday, we took what we had, we brought together, and we separated it amongst us equally. The same way God blesses us. Look, we ought to be encouraged and be happy that somebody else is being blessed. Instead of turning our nose up, well, why didn't God bless me? Maybe your attitude ought to change. You're looking for something different. As believers, us coming together, we ought to be here to encourage one another in love, not in jealousy, not in bitterness, not in backstabbing, but in love, to say, you know what? Well, I'm glad that you got blessed. Amen. I'm glad that you, or I've been blessed. I know that there's somebody else that can be blessed by what I've been. Let me bless somebody else. That's how we as believers ought to look at this thing as we go through it. How crazy does it look? Just entertain me for a moment. How crazy does it look for us to have Thanksgiving and to have a refrigerator full of food left over Not just a refrigerator full of food that we cook, but a refrigerator full of food left over after everybody then ate and we still got stuff. And to still know somebody that doesn't have anything. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. How crazy is it for God to bless us, and but for us not being willing to share the blessing that God has blessed us with? Knowing that God didn't just give it to us just for any reason, but he gave it to us so that we could let somebody else know. He gave it to us so that we could share what it is that we have. Do you think that you've been blessed just to be blessed so that you can just hold on to it? I don't think blessings reside with us in the grave. Anybody believe that? I think that once our time comes and we're dead and gone, our blessings are released. That we can't take them with us. So why hold on so tightly to it now? If God has blessed me once, talk to somebody that's been blessed. Find out, is that the first blessing that they've ever had? Talk to somebody that's been blessed. See if they're living off their second blessing that they've ever had. It continues. It continues. And the more that we share the blessings, the more God says, you know what? Here. Our reaction as believers ought to be different. I ought to hold on to the faith to know that if God blessed me this time, I don't care what the situation comes my way the next time. I know that God's still in the blessing business. And I know that he's got something else in store for me. So let me go ahead and share it the best way I can. I believe that God has allowed people to go through what they've gone through so folk can share their blessing. I believe that Minister Grant's cancer that she went through wasn't actually a direct attack on her. I think it was actually God allowing a testimony that she'd be able to share. Look at Minister Grant had cancer, gone through different surgeries, gone through different pains, gone through being talked about, folk, you know, because there's a stereotype that comes with it. But look at what has happened. Look at how many other people God has allowed her to be able to open her mouth to share about, look, this is my cancer experience. And this is what I can tell you about it. This is what I've gone through. That's why God allows us to be blessed, that we'd be able to share what it is that we've been through. Well, how can I share? Because I have the boldness in knowing that my God isn't like everybody. The God I serve ain't like that. No, the God that I serve is somebody totally different. That has allowed me to have a direct relationship with him where I can go to him and now I can share with you what it is God has blessed me with. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So here what is happening is that as he's talking to the church, what's happening is something that's similar to happening today, that people were starting to fall away from the church. People were starting to fall away, and folks started to think, well, oh, I can do it this way and I can do it this way. And it's wonderful technology. Deacon Stacy had mentioned in one of our meetings, technology is wonderful. It's great that we have technology and that we can be heard all the way around the world. But it's also something that we have to be real careful about as believers, because people will get comfortable listening to the sermon at home. People will get comfortable listening to it on the radio, listening to it on a CD, pulling it up on a computer and listening to it later on during the week on YouTube. People get comfortable in doing that. And then what happens is that folk don't assemble. Folk don't come together. And if you're not coming together and you're not around one another, guess what it is that you can't do? It's going to be very difficult to encourage somebody else. It's going to be very difficult to do that. The world that we're living in now, social media, all this other kind of stuff, a lot of our children, a lot of our kids are missing out because they don't know how to socialize. They don't know how to speak to somebody else. They don't know how to, it's going to be real weird once our children today grow up and they have to go to an interview. Because they're not used to that. And so, you know, there's something to be lost in the fact of folk actually coming together. Actually coming in. So holding fast to the faith. What I really have to do is I have to really look at what it is, the opportunity that God has given me, and I need to take full advantage of it. I got to take full advantage of it because I got to spend time with him. I got to talk to him. I got to take full advantage of it because I have to be around. I might not agree with what everybody, and necessarily, you know, everybody don't like everybody. And that's okay. But like the fact that we got something in common. I don't necessarily have to like the way that you wear your pants, or you might not necessarily like the way that I wear my jacket or comb my hair, or what, and that's okay. But what ought to bring us together and what ought to join us together is the fact that our hearts are in the same place when it comes to our Lord. That's something that ought to bring us together. Amen. A few things I'm going to point out and then I'll be finished. Amen. Amen. So here we see in verses 19 through 25, one of the things that is commanded to believers is that, number one, is that we draw near. That we draw near with God's assurance. That we pull ourselves together. That we draw near, not only to God, but we draw near to one another. To one another. And folk might say, well, pastor, it's because you're a pastor. No, genuinely. When I'm not here, I feel away from y'all. I really do. When I enjoy my time to get away, but when I am away, I feel so distant. I feel so distant. It's something that's important to me. It's something that's important to me to be able to see everybody's face, to be able to talk to folk on the phones. But whatever it is, however it is we communicate, because I communicate with a lot of different people different ways. Some folk we communicate through text. Some folk we talk on the phone. Some folk we actually see each other. Some folk I don't get to see you till Sunday. But I miss it. When I'm not here and I don't get it, I miss that. Because I think it's something that to me I've put as being very important to me. It's just like when sins allows us to be separated from God. Remember that feeling? Remember the feeling when we even now as believers when we mess up? And how the enemy tries to make us feel a certain way? And sometimes it might make us feel as though we're not as close to God as we once were, because we just happen to be in a situation or going through some stuff. See, here's what's important to realize, and this is sometimes a lot of unbelievers miss it. As believers, we don't claim to be perfect by our own. I'm just seen as being perfect because of the blood of Jesus. I'm just seen as being perfect by God because Jesus stands in the way. It's not because I walk a straight line. It's not because I dot every I and I cross every T. It doesn't mean that I'm not trying to. But sometimes my line gets a little wavy. Sometimes my T's aren't crossed at all. And sometimes they ain't crossed because I ain't even tried to cross them. But because of Jesus, God still sees me. It's being perfect. The Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. If you think that you're going to work out your salvation on your own, you are sorely mistaken. It can't happen. It's impossible. The only way, these scriptures right here, this is the assurance that lets me know. It's because of Jesus. It's because of what he's already done that is allowing me to even have the ability to commune with God. Those that have a prayer life, those that are constantly meditating, those that are, imagine if that was taken away. And every time you had a situation, every time you needed to call upon the Lord, you had to get in contact with Pastor. And then you had to worry and depend about whether I had my stuff together. Because here I am holding your stuff to take before God. But the bag that I got that I'm holding your stuff in got holes in it itself. What assurance would somebody have then? But the assurance to know that whatever I got, I can just give it directly to him. That means ain't nothing going to get lost. That means that he's right there ready to receive it. He says, I'm going to allow it because blood has been shed. No more sacrifices is needed. I got you. Come on, whatever it is you got, bring it to me. So as we see these scriptures, the first thing that we draw near, we draw near. We got to make sure that becomes a part of our priority. Secondly, it says to hold fast to one another. Amen. Draw near to God with assurance. Secondly, to hold fast to their confession without wavering. Hold fast to their confession without wavering. Without wavering. How is it that I can hold fast? Well, I can hold fast because first I've drawn near. And because now that I've drawn near, I've got assurance. And so now this assurance that I have allows me to hold fast to the fact that God is who he says that he is. He cares about me. He loves me. So if for whatever reason he's allowed me to go through something, he's allowed me to go through it because there's something better that he wants me to get out of it. And so now my fussing, my fighting, my complaining about what I'm going through switches up. My share a personal testimony. My job this time of year is the time of year that they go through and they do what do you call them? Evaluations. And we're on a 4-point scale. So you can get a 1 through 4. We're on a 4-point scale. My boss sent me my evaluation, and my evaluation was a 2.4. What? 2.4. I'm just a good employee? Yes. For almost 12 years, I'm on call 24/7, 365. Just this past year, I saved Guilford County over $100,000. Now, I don't show up every day at 8 o'clock. Sure don't. Don't show up every day at 8:30. Ain't always there at 9. But you can call me at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm normally still there at work. There's several times that I just go straight on through lunch. Just eat something at the desk. So in the morning, I got folk to get to school and things to take care of. So I might not be there always at the time. But I'm always a phone call away. A perfect example of that is that I was out of the country in Jamaica. And voting was going on. And for whatever reason, our website went down. Out of all the other 60-some employees we got in our department, you called the 2.4. I'm sorry. And so I could sit there and I could argue with him. I could sit there and I could go back and forth with him. But I'm at a place in my life now where I just chose to pray for him. I mean, this ain't the first time y'all have heard me give testimony at work or say something about work. I just chose to pray for him and just keep it moving. I've seen this before. I've seen this before.
Well, Kevin, you know, you got a lot of things going on outside of work. And, you know, a lot of times I could come to your desk and you'll be having a conversation about something else other than work and such and such and such. I said, yeah, because that's what I'm called to do. Has a deadline been missed? Was there something that you gave me to get done that didn't get done? Was there? Oh, all that's taken care of. Oh, okay. Anytime there's somebody that needs to be a representation of our department to go out in the county and say something to anybody else. Oh, Kevin, you used to public speaking. We'll here. Anytime there's a training or whatever, here. That doesn't fall under security. Something different. 2.4. Well, Kevin, if you just listen to me, I guarantee you next year we'll get a 3. Told me that last year. But it's not that's something, but it's that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that as a believer, how should I react? 2 days before that, somebody was in the office yelling and going off and all that other kind of stuff because of their score. It just ain't that important to me. I can see where I think it ought to be higher, or I can see where I think it ought to be more, but I'm just going to take it to somebody else. I'm gonna let him take care of it. Maybe God is working some stuff to where I ain't got to be there no more. And so I don't want to get in the way of that. maybe God is setting it up that he's hearing my heart, that I'd love to just go ahead and put on my coveralls every day and go out and work in a garden somewhere and have the ability that somebody calls up for ministry, I can say, yeah, no problem. And I can show up with my overalls on and do whatever needs. Maybe God got something else going on, working out something else. It's amazing because the same day that I got the 2.4, you know, Arian has started a new job. And so one of the areas that she deals with is in soil management and soil and planting and all that other kind of stuff. So she had the ability, the same day that I was doing my evaluation, she had the ability to meet Guilford County's largest landowner. And she was like, baby, you just would have loved it. Oh my gosh, she was so such and such. And I was like, you just don't know. You just don't know. Holding fast to what it is God has for us. That's the important thing. However it is God has it set up. Everything that we go through, everything that happens in life, even here in ministry, everything that we go through, it's a holiday and folk are out of town and all this. But if you've been coming regularly, you might have seen that our numbers are falling off a little bit. Our numbers of folk actually physically being here. Not our actual numbers of folk being online, but our numbers of folk actually physically being here. Prayer line, Bible study, Sunday school. Here are opportunities. Sister Virginia said, we'll tell you, no problem. Any opportunity that you have to get word, you ought to take advantage of it. You ought to take advantage of it. But as a pastor, it's always amazed me that folk that are going through and folk that have the stuff going on, you'll tell them here's an opportunity to get more word, to be able to deal with whatever situation you have, and folk don't take advantage of it. What folk like to do is they like to wait till the emergency, until they're in the midst of the emergency, and then they want to call and they want to say, and as a pastor, I know that if that frustrates me, I mean, imagine how God, I'm here, I've been here the whole time. You're going to take the pastor. I don't have it. You know, God wants to bless me with it. Amen. He already knows I'll be the one to share it, but I don't have an endless account. that I can just reach into and say, well, let me just go ahead and fix all your problems, or let me just pay for the bill, or let me just go ahead and put groceries in your, you know, I've been able to do what it is that I can do, but I take it to God. He's the one. He's the one that's in control of it all. Amen. And last thing, so we draw near, we hold fast, and lastly, we be concerned for one another and not dispense. When we're concerned with one another, that means that I'm actually care about your well-being. Care about your well-being. And so in caring about one another, then that means we make sure that we continue fellowship with one another. Some folk, I'm looking around, and it's one person's house that I haven't been to. One person's house that I haven't been to. And I've never been to Sister Virginia's house. I've never been to Sister Virginia's house. Have a Sister Virginia. Never been to Sister Virginia's house. Everybody else in here, I've been to your house. Out of everybody in here, I think I've hung out just about everybody. And when I say hung out, I mean like sit down and had a meal, except for a handful of people. Few people. As believers, that we ought to be happy to be around one another. That ought to be something that's not a problem. That's not a problem. Because we have the most important thing in common. That doesn't mean that, you know, you might not keep your house the way that I keep mine, or you might turn your glasses down in the cabinet and I turn my glasses up, whatever. However, but those things are not important. Things that's important is that what it is that we do have in common, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to encourage everyone that as believers, I think that we're living in a time where it's important how we react. How we react to the situations and circumstances God allows us to be in. And I want to encourage you in your response, in your reaction, to make sure that you actually understand who you are. That you hold on to the faith, the thing that you say that you believe in. That Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That because of Jesus Christ, you have a direct connection to God. Because of Jesus Christ shedding his blood, we are automatically joint heirs once we accept him. Meaning that we're grafted in as family to one another. It doesn't mean that we all got to have the same last name. It doesn't mean that we all come from the same place. It just all means that we now have the same destination. And that ought to be important to you. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. 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 So after listening to today's message, I don't know, maybe you're looking over your life, you're looking over some things and say, hey, I ought to react a little bit different to my situation. Maybe something was said today to say, you know what, I have a better understanding of actually whose I am. I have a better understanding of how God looks at me in the situations of where he places me. I understand that this sin thing that I got, it's human nature. It's human nature. Now, if you read more in chapter 10, and I didn't go into it, but if you read more in chapter 10, it actually talks about the willingness to sin, willful sin. And how some believers, some folks say, well, hey, since I am saved, since I am, I may as well just go ahead and do whatever and I'll be all right. No, don't work that way. God knows who you are. It's true. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on. And through the process, I'm here to tell you that none of us will be perfect. And when I say none of us will be perfect, I mean none of us will be perfect on our own. But through Jesus, because of Jesus, and only because of him, are we able to be seen as righteous? Are we able to be seen as perfection? And so if you don't have full assurance in knowing who Christ is, a lot of people at this day and time, because we have more information, we have all this other kind of stuff, folk try to bring out all kinds of stuff. Look, that's nice, fine and dandy. Well, you know, we're the true, you know, black people are this, and you know, we came here, we did. Folk try to go through all kinds of stuff. That's nice, fine and dandy. I agree. I believe Jesus was a man of color. There's no way in the world he was out there in the sun all that time and he ain't getting no color. There was no way in the world that he was out there all that time walking around barefoot and he ain't. I mean, come on, let's just go ahead and think about that. But far as where he came from, what color his skin was, the texture of his hair, all that other, that really don't make no difference to me. What makes difference to me is that what's his blood red? Was his blood red? That's what allows me to be who I am. The fact that his blood was shed. Was his blood red? I don't know about anybody else got any different color blood. Have not been able to identify anybody based upon their blood. I can't look at blood and say, oh, that's a white person's blood right there. I can't look at the blood and say, oh, this is the texture of their hair. I can't look at blood and tell the nationality just based upon blood. I can't even look at blood to tell you that's an A type or B minus or O or whatever, all them other, I can't tell. What's important is that I hold on to the faith and knowing that Jesus Christ is who he says that he is. And because he did what he said that he was going to do, not his will, but because he did the Father's will, I have the ability to go directly to him. And I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord that he doesn't see me for who I am, but he sees me for who Christ allows him to see me as. I thank the Lord for it. People say, you know, my one of my new sayings is, "Folk, how you doing?" I'm doing better than I deserve, and I've had some people to say, "Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Well, look, you from what it is that you see on the outside, you might think that I deserve more, and I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. But from what I know about Kevin don't deserve to be where he's at. Amen. From what I know about Kevin, things ought to be different. If Kevin was repaid for all the stuff that he's done, things ought to be different. And so I'm just glad that God is allowing me to be where he's got me. And I'm okay with that. Amen? Amen. So again, it's personal decision time. After listening to today's message, if something has been said to make you think of things a little bit differently, if something has been said to say, you know what? Yeah, I